Thanks, Pastor. Matthew 28. I remember growing up, my mom would always send me to go pick up my sister from high school, whether it was from volleyball practice or cheerleading practice or whatever it was, and that was the worst trip. That was the worst possible mission I could ever get, because anytime I got to the high school, my sister would have me waiting outside the high school for 10, 15, 20 minutes. And I can't get in. The doors are locked. I'm calling her. She's not answering. She's messing around in there. And I would just be fuming. Jasmine, where are you? Texting her, calling her. And then when she got there, I'd say, Jasmine, why were you not ready? Why were you not waiting for me? Then I would get home and I'd say, Mom, I'm never going again. I'm never going to get her again. This is a bad mission. Every time I go, she's supposed to be ready at this time. She's not there. I hated to be sent to go pick my sister up from anything, really. Whether it was wherever she was going, I was the one that was sent to go pick her up. So send I you, this song right here, I was reading it last night, and none of these things sound very good. So send I you to labor unrewarded. So send I you to serve unpaid, unloved, unsought, unknown. That doesn't sound fun. To bear rebuke, to suffer scorn and scoffing. So send I you to toil for me alone. You continue on through the verses, and it doesn't get much better from there. But God says, I'm sending you. So send I you. It's not about what I'm sending you to or where I'm sending you to. It's about who I am. And when I think back on that and I look at the example of my sister, I loved my mom, right? And she was sending me. And I loved my sister. She was who I was going to get. I may not have liked all the circumstances, but I was sent by someone I loved to someone that I loved. And I hope that we can get that message today out of today's scripture, out of the Great Commission that we are given to go and reach all nations, everybody around the world, and here in Minneapolis, in St. Paul, in your community, wherever you are, we are sent by Jesus to reach those that are lost. Now, I'm originally from Michigan. Johnny appreciates that. He's from Michigan as well. I heard Pastor earlier telling him that Michigan's in town. The real one, he says, the real U of M. The Michigan is in town. They're playing some basketball today later on against Minnesota. We'll see who comes out on top. But I'm originally from Michigan, just 45 minutes so north of Detroit. I grew up in kind of the suburban areas, and I was reached through the bus ministry of the Lake Crest Baptist Church. And I grew up in Michigan my whole life. I went to the University of Michigan. Michigan is what I would call my home for a lot of years. My wife, Shay, she's from California. She's from the other side of the country, okay? And she's used to the warm weather and everything nice over there. A lot more traffic, a lot more people. She's from California, and that's where she would call home for a lot of years. But now, here we are in Minnesota. We love Minnesota. It's not very much different from Michigan. A little bit colder in the winter, but not really as much snow or rain. But this is kind of what we call our home. But really, since Jesus saved me when I was just a young boy coming on the bus routes, going to a 8- and 9-year-old Sunday school class, and the gospel reached me and I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I have a new home. It's not in Michigan. It's not in California. It's not in Minnesota. It's above. It's in heaven. I got an address in heaven. We learned this morning in Sunday school that Jesus went to go prepare a place for each and every one of us. And heaven is a great place. It's an awesome place. And that's where my home is. But if that's my home and I'm here, what am I to do? I'm to be a missionary. This is not my home. But there are people here that God has for me to reach and for you to reach. And I want to title this message, Are You Going? Are You Going? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the day. Thank you for all those that have reached us. Father, thank you for the Great Commission. Thank you for the original apostles that followed your sending, and they went out into the world, and they preached the gospel to every creature. Father, help us to follow along in that mission, to reach others, to give the gospel, to tell our testimony, to give of ourselves, and pay the great debt of grace that was bestowed upon us, as our pastor taught us last week. Father, I pray that you would bless now. Help us to understand and help us to ask ourselves the question, are we going? Who are we reaching? Who is our responsibility in our community, in this world, here on earth, as missionaries to the world? Father, I pray that you would help us to follow your sending in everything we do. Fill us now and fill me now with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you're looking at your Bibles there in Matthew chapter 28, we're going to look first at verse number 18. The Bible says, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." Point number one, I want us to look at the master's example. The master's example. You say, who's the master? Jesus. Jesus is the master. And he says, all power is given unto me in heaven, and in earth. And in earth. You say, we're not in heaven. We're here on earth, right? So that's good that God still has power here on earth, right? Because we're here on earth and we need God's power. And the Bible says that he has all power. He's our master. But he's not just our master. He's our master example. We are but apprentices. We are but his disciples. We should follow him in everything that he does. He's our example of love. He's our example of humility. He's our example of sacrifice. Everything that he has done, he is our example. But I want to focus today on one particular point, that Jesus was a missionary. Jesus left his heavenly home to come to earth. And I want us all to follow his example today as missionaries. Missionaries. To this world, we are all a part of the Great Commission and we are all called to go somewhere. Are you going? Are you going? Man, we send out missionaries from the United States to Africa and to Asia and to everywhere. And they're going. They're getting on an airplane. They're gone. We don't see them anymore. But right here, in your neighborhood, are you going? Am I going? Am I getting in a car? Am I getting on my shoes? Am I getting out into a neighborhood? Am I reaching somebody? We're sent to go. Are we going? We have to follow the master's example. He left heaven to come to earth to reach me, a lost in a darkened world. I was just a young boy, just doing my own thing. My family wasn't a part of God. We had no dealings with God until one day a bus captain came and was looking through a neighborhood trying to get people to come on his bus so that he could bring them to church. And guess whose door he knocked on? Not mine, actually. He knocked on my grandma's door. And I was always at my grandma's. He knocked on my grandma's door. He got my aunts and, my aunts and uncles, but I had all aunts. So I had all these aunts that were going, and I was over there. And one weekend, and they said, hey, we're going to church. You want to go too? And I said, yeah, I want to go to church. They had a big bus. We didn't have a blue bus. We had a brown bus. It was like a cream brown. And my teen teacher and all the bus people, they would call them the beautiful brown limousines. That's what they would call them. And we'd be like, come on, man, I didn't know a limousine. Well, that's what they call them, the beautiful brown limousine. So, hey, we got some beautiful blue limousines here. Praise the Lord. They're long, and you can sit in them. Hey, it's a bus, okay? So we had these brown buses, man. I loved them. They kind of looked military style, the brown that they were. And we would just get on the bus and have a good time singing songs and handing out candy and just having a great time coming to church. And it was awesome. And that's how I was reached, and when I see people getting on bus and buses coming around with the church name on it, that makes me smile. Because I think back of the times that I was on that bus, singing and having a good old time. I rode the bus until I was 17 years old, until I got my driver's license and I drove myself. Because everybody was just like, hey, you got your own car, just drive yourself, it saves us a stop. And I was like, okay, that works for me. So I would drive myself, but man, I love the bus. I loved getting on the bus. I loved coming to Sunday school. I loved hearing people teach me the Bible. I loved everything about it. It was awesome. And one day I was saved. I saw who Jesus was. I saw and I understood what Jesus did. They told me that Jesus came to earth and he lived a sinless life. And then he gave his life. A perfect man. The Son of God. He came from heaven. And then he gave his life. That's what they told me, and that's what I understood. And they showed me from the Bible that it was true. And then one day I said, I believe that. I believe that. I want a part of that. And Jesus saved me. He was a missionary to me. And if you're saved today, he was a missionary to you. To everyone on this earth, he was a missionary. He gave himself. He gave up his home to come and go somewhere else that was not where he probably would have preferred to be, but because he loved us and because he was sent, he went. I pray that we would do the same thing. How far will we go to reach somebody else? How far will we go? We should go as far as Jesus tells us to. If it's to Africa, if it's to Asia, if he says, that's where I want you to go, that's where we go. But if he doesn't say go to Asia, and he says, hey, you need to stay here in Minneapolis. Oh, that means we don't need to go anywhere. No, we're sent to Minneapolis. We're sent to St. Paul. Wherever you're from, you are sent to that location to be a missionary. This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Man, we got a great mission, and we must follow our master's example. I'm very proud to say that I grew up a bus kid. I'm very proud to say that I grew up and I was raised in the church the way that I was, because, man, it was such a great time. It was such a great time. And I remember the days that we would have big days, and I would try to get my mom to come, and I would try to get my stepdad to come, and I would try to get my aunts and uncles to come. It was awesome. I loved it. I loved every minute of it. And I was thankful for the bus captains. As I grew up and I understood all the work that they had to do, man, I was so thankful. I was like, man, my bus captain's out on the route every Saturday for hours, all day, for me and for other kids in our neighborhood. That just humbled me. I said, man, I've been coming to church for 16, 17 years. And my bus captain was faithful every Saturday and Sunday to come visit me on Saturday, and then to come again and come pick me up. Man, once I realized how much work and how much they were actually pouring into me, I started to understand, man, I owe something here. And just as Pastor preached on last week, he talked about that debt of grace, I started to realize that grace was extended to me through Jesus Christ, through a church, through some hardworking people that were willing to give up themselves as missionaries to me. I said, man, I got to do something too. It's not fair for me to just get on the bus and just have a good time and come to church and not give anything back. I owe something to the people, to the same people that grew up the same way that I grew up. I owe something to them. I got to follow that master's example. I owe a great debt of grace. It was pretty funny. As I grew up and I started to get on a more personal relationship with who was my bus captain, Brother Rob Height, I got to learn his testimony. And he grew up in the next town over that was a lot rougher. I grew up in the suburbs in Waterford, Michigan, and right next to that was Pontiac. It was a little bit rougher area. And he said that he grew up in this rougher area, and he was into all kinds of stuff, and then someone reached him with the gospel. And he would say, man, because someone reached me, man, I was a bad kid, and someone was willing to put in time in me. He said, there's no other thing that I can do than to go out and be a bus captain and try to reach other people. He told me he told me exactly what I'm telling you guys, that we owe a debt of grace because of the people that have reached us. Because God reaching us, we owe so much to other people. Have you received God's grace? If not, it's available today. It's available to you today. God came for you. God died for you. God came as a missionary for you, and he wants you to be saved. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation. You can be saved today. Jesus is still here to be the same person that he was for me and for you if you are saved. He wants us all to be saved. But if you have received the gift of grace, man, we need to follow our master's example. We need to follow him. He's sending us. Are we going? Am I going? Are you going? Look at verses 18 through 20. First, we looked at the master's example. Now I want to see the mission explained. You say, I'm a missionary. What's my mission? Well, verses 18 through 20 tell us exactly what the mission is. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go, ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. He gives us a clear explanation of what he wants us to do. We're not confused. There's nothing to be confused about what our mission is. He says to go and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and Son, and then teaching them to observe all the things that we have been taught. It's really simple, right? Just as simple as my mom saying, hey, go to the high school and pick your sister up and bring her home, right? If I went and I said, it's too long, it's been 15 minutes, I'm coming home, and I showed up without my sister, I'm going to be in trouble. She's going to say, no, go back out, right? That's what God's saying to us. Okay, you went. Okay, you didn't get anybody. All right, but you got to go back out until you get somebody. We're missionaries to this world. What are we doing? Are we going? All right, we didn't get anybody. All right, we're going to go again. We're going to try again. All right, we didn't teach anybody that time. All right, we're going to try again, get them the next time. We have a mission, and it's a clear mission. He explains it to us. He gives us a couple different steps. Jesus, in one of his very last conversations with the disciples, he says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. That's the song that we sang. He said, I'm sending you. The Father sent me to be a missionary to you. Now it's your turn. Follow me. Go. Get out of here. Shoo. Go. Go get somebody. Right? Go find somebody. Go reach somebody. Go teach somebody. You know the gospel. You've been saved. I reached you. Now go get somebody else. Simple. Right? He says, go. Go ye therefore. As we look at Jesus' final commands, we see that the first step of our mission is to go. That means get up off of our seat, get moving, get some action, and go. Right? There's stop. Right? There's stop. What color represents stop? Red. Okay. What color represents go?
Green,
all right? I'm saying you got the green light, go, okay? There's no red lights here, go. Get up, go, get moving. That's what Jesus says. Charles Spurgeon said, every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. An imposter. If you were not going and we're not reaching anybody, then what are we? Then what are we? As a church, if we're not reaching people, what are we doing? We got to go. We got to go and we got to reach people. He sent the apostles. He sent Paul. He sent everybody that went and reached you. You know what that means? He's sending us too. We're not exempt. Oh, he sent Paul to be a missionary. He sent the Drinkalls to be a missionary over here. He sent them to be a mission over here, but he didn't really send me anywhere. Wrong. He's sending all of us. He's sending all of us to our communities, to our neighborhoods. We have a mission, the Great Commission. And it starts with us going. Why don't we go? Because we don't want to go. Why didn't I want to go to get my sister? Because it was inconvenient. It took time. I got frustrated. I just didn't like to do it. And that's often the reasons that we don't go. Because it's inconvenient. We might suffer scorn and scoffing. We might have to bear rebuke. We just simply don't like it. But we must go. We must go. If someone shared the gospel with me, I owe it to share the gospel with somebody else. That is my duty. The harvest is plenteous. The harvest is truly plenteous. But what do we know? The laborers are few. The laborers are few. Why? Why is that so true? Why are the laborers so few? Because we don't go. We don't want to go. We're inconvenienced by going. We're all to go. The harvest field of Minneapolis is crying out for missionaries. Just like foreign lands are crying out for missionaries, this city right here is crying out for missionaries. You look around and you can see the cry. You can hear the cry. They're saying, we need help. We need the gospel. We need salvation. We need Jesus Christ. That's what the city is saying. It says we need missionaries. We need people to reach us. There's foreign countries sending missionaries to the United States. That just doesn't make sense to me. But it's because we have not gone. As Christians, we have to go. I went to a public school in Waterford, Michigan, and we had a ton of kids at our school. We had 1,800 kids. I don't know how that compares. It might be completely different here. We had 1,800 kids in our high school, and that was just one of the high schools in Waterford. There was another one that had 1,500. A lot of people in the high school. And each one of those kids represents a family, a home. They got grandparents. They got brothers and sisters that are younger than them. And you just think about the actual numbers that are surrounding us here in Minneapolis, and you got to say, the harvest is plenteous. There's thousands, tens of thousands of people all around us just waiting to hear the gospel, just waiting to hear the truth, just waiting. And I think of myself, when my family wasn't going to church, when I wasn't riding the bus, I was just one of those numbers. I was just one of those numbers waiting for someone to reach me, and I had no idea. I had no idea about church. I had no idea about church buses. I had no idea about the Bible. I had no idea who Jesus was. I was just another number out in the harvest field waiting for someone to come. Man, when I think about that, that motivates me to go. You say, man, that person's not interested. Okay, maybe see if the next person's interested. That person slammed the door in my face. Well, go see if the next person won't. When I think of myself just being one of those people just out that needs to be reached, that motivates me to go. The harvest is plenteous. We got to reach them. I love the song in our blue book. It's called Little Is Much When God Is In It. I love that. I love singing that when I was little, right? Because I was this little guy and I was like, yeah, man, I'm much. God's in me. I'm much, right? I'm little, but I got something about me, right? We're ready to go. But little is much when God is in it. But what if we had more? What if we had more and we had God in more? Think we could reach more? Little is much, then more must be better. One is good, but I like two. Especially if we're talking about caramel cake, my grandma's caramel cake slices. One is good, one is probably too much. You're going to be out of commission after one. But two is better, right? Little is much when God is in it, but more is better. We need more laborers. God is calling us all. He's not saying, oh, I just got you. No, he has all of us. We're all sent. We're all sent. No one's excluded. We're all missionaries. But are we going? Are we going? Have we put on our preaching shoes, our teaching shoes, our going shoes? We got to get going. We got to labor for Jesus Christ. We don't have much time. God's grace should move us to action to be a missionary because of his example and because of his mission that he gives us. He says, this is your mission. I gave you an example. I gave you a clear explanation of what it is. Now let's do it. Let's go. Let's teach. Let's preach. Let's do all we can to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you have your Bible, turn over to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians, really quick, chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm going to read a couple verses here that I really want us to hone in on as we start to wind this down. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 14 through 20. The Bible says, for the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Wherefore, henceforth, now know we no man after the flesh, yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Man, there's a lot in there. But I want us to look at two very important things. Verse number 15, he says, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves. That's number one. He died for us, we ought to live for him. That's the basic principle. He came for us, we're going to go for him. Then in verse number 20, the Bible says, after all that, he says, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. That means we're missionaries for Christ. We are representations of Jesus Christ here on this earth to reach people and tell people about him. Man, we are ambassadors for Christ. We are sent by Christ to be his representatives in this world. We owe a great debt. We owe a great debt to this community, to anybody that we come in contact, we owe a great debt to them. I don't know about you, but I don't like being in debt. Does anybody like being in debt? Man, I owe tons of money and I love it. I got bills, I don't like that. Bill collectors calling you up all the time. No, I'd rather just it all be clear, right? Man, when a bill comes, I want to get that thing paid right away. I don't want to forget about it, get a late fee. No, just pay it, get out of here. I'm done. I paid it for the month. Get it out of here as soon as possible. That's what I want to do. I don't like being in debt. It kind of hangs over your head. When I think of someone, maybe someone in high school, I had to borrow some lunch money. Then the next day, you're just like, man, I don't got it for him. Then the next day, you still don't got it. It's just like racking up in your mind that you owe him. And you're just like, you feel bad. I want to pay that. I want to pay that debt. I remember last summer, I paid off my student loans. Man, that was a great debt. I was like, praise the Lord. Pay off that debt. But man, we should have that same feeling. And I know I need to have that same feeling when I think about the people that I come across in this world, the debt that I owe to them, the grace that I've been given, all the things that I've been given in my life. Man, I owe so much. I owe so much. It's ridiculous how much I owe. It's way more than what my student loans were, or whatever my car payment is. It's way bigger than that, the debt I owe. I've been given way too much. I don't deserve it. You know what? We all don't deserve it. That's why it's grace. That's why it's grace. We don't deserve it. But man, I owe, and I need to start paying. I need to start paying these debts. I need to start going. I need to start talking to somebody and getting the word to somebody. Why? Because I want to get rid of that debt. The problem is, I can't get rid of it. Because every day I try to pay it, God gives me more grace. I'm trying to pay this debt off, and you know what God keeps giving me? More grace. So then I got to pay some more. Man, that's just terrible. You pay it, and you get more. That's a bad kind of debt to have, but in this sense, it's a great debt to have because I get to serve Jesus every day. Give me some more grace, and I'll keep paying. That should be our motto. That should be our decree. We should say, man, give me more. Well, who else do you want me to reach? Who else? Who else can I go and reach? Praise the Lord for the debt that we owe. Praise the Lord for the debt that we get to owe. The mission explained, and finally, we're going to end on this point. Verse number 20, the missionary empowered. The missionary empowered. Verse number 20 says, he gives the last part of the Great Commission, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, here's the best part. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. That's the best part. You say, man, we got to go. Who's going with us? The Holy Spirit's going with you. You think about missionaries, man, they're going off and they're going pretty much alone. They're going with their family. They're taking their family and they're kind of by themselves. Sometimes they have different teams, but man, they're going out into community. Nobody knows the same language. They've got to learn this new language. They got nobody else around them that's like them at all. They're kind of alone, right? No, they're not alone either. They got the same Holy Spirit with them. They got the same God that gave them grace going with them and saying, man, you're going to go. Jesus says, I'm going to go with you. You're going to go where I told you to go. I'm going to go with you. And I'm going to be with you always, even unto the end of the world. The Bible says in John 14, this is one of the last conversations again with his disciples. He says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. Neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. And then he says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Man, you can go out into a foreign land, and I'm sure, man, you know, they don't have the same comforts that we have. Air condition, any kind of fast food meals anytime you want. Those are comforts of life that just aren't in Africa or Asia, wherever you may go on a foreign field. There's some comforts that they don't have. But praise the Lord, Jesus Christ, he says, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and you're not going to be left comfortless. You may not have all the comforts that you want, but you won't be comfortless. Praise the Lord for the Holy Spirit and what he does, and he comes with us, and he goes with us, and he says, I am going with you. Never alone. No, never alone. We get Jesus Christ to come with us. That's powerful. That's power. That's the only power that we can go in. And that's in the power of the Holy Ghost. He'll bring peace. He'll give comfort. He'll give strength. He'll give you the power that you need to accomplish your mission. Man, you give me a mission. Hey, my mom says, go to the high school and pick Jasmine up. But you don't get the car. I'm like, okay, how's this going to work here? Am I piggyback? You know, what's going on here? Okay, go take the car, but we don't have any gas. Okay, how's that going to work? No, he's going to give you what you need to accomplish the mission. Right? He's going to go with you. He's going to give you everything you need to get the mission done. He says, go and teach. He's going to give you the power to go. He's going to give you the words to teach. He's given us the Bible. He's given us his Spirit. He says, you got the mission, and you got everything you need to accomplish the mission. The missionary is empowered. The person that says, I'm going to go and reach somebody, is not going to be left alone. He's not going to be left comfortless. What does that say to those that don't go? What are we doing? That's the question. Are we going? Are we going? I had a quick little illustration that I want to tell you about my daughter, Michelle. She's been really sick the past couple days. She's been struggling. And she's been crying a lot and fussing. She's just not feeling good at all. And she wants to be comforted at every single moment of the day. She wants to be held, rocked, you know, all this stuff. She needs it all. She needs that comfort. But we got to do something. I got to put something away. I got to take something out to the car. I got to take the trash out, whatever. You know what I got to do? I got to put her down. And man, she starts wailing. She starts wailing and crying. I'm like, I'm sorry. I got to do this real quick. I'll be right back. I'm glad that Jesus never has to set us down. He never has to say, oh, you know, there's going to be a time where I have to set you down and you just got to be on your own for a minute. I have to do that with Michelle sometimes, and then I'll come back and pick her up and I'll give her that comfort again. But Jesus Christ says, man, if you go, if you're going to be a missionary for me, I'm going to be with you every day. I'm going to be with you always. There's not going to be a time where I'm going to set you down. There's not going to be a time where I'm going to leave you alone. He says, always. I'm with you all the time. No matter where we go for him, he'll be there for us. That's an awesome promise. I titled the message, Are You Going? Because I want us all to ask ourselves that question. Are we going? If not, we should ask ourselves, why not? We should ask ourselves, how can we get involved? What can we do? There's a great harvest field here in Minneapolis, and this church has a lot of stuff to do. We have a great mission. And if we're feeling challenged today, I would just say, you know what? Let the Holy Spirit lead you to wherever he wants you to go. If he's calling you to be a missionary, but if he's not calling you to be a missionary to a foreign land, we're called to be missionaries here. And I would challenge us all to get out into our communities and reach people with the gospel. We owe it to them. Maybe God is calling you to a foreign land. Hey, you should go. As soon as you're ready, as soon as you have everything you need, you should go. Because that's where God is calling you to. You say, man, it's not going to be fun. It's going to be hot over there. There's not going to be a lot of amenities. Well, you better just go, because it's where God wants you to go. And that's where the blessings come. I had the song saying showers of blessings. Man, I tell you what, I love showers of blessings. But the only way to get under a shower of blessing is to go where God wants you to go. If you're not where God wants you to be, those showers are going to be dried up. And man, I want the showers. I plead for those showers, but that, you know what that means for me? I need to get under the showers. The showers are there, but I need to go where God wants me to go so I can be under those showers of blessing. May we all be challenged to be missionaries to wherever the Lord leads us. May we follow the master's example. May we follow the commission that was so clearly explained to us. And may we trust the Holy Spirit and God's power to be with us everywhere we go. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you again for your goodness and grace, Father. I don't know the will of God for everybody in here, but Father, I pray that I would know the will of God for myself, that I would understand where you want me to go and who you want me to reach. But Father, though I don't know, Father, exactly where you want everybody to go, I know from the scripture that you're telling us all to go. We are all sent. We are all missionaries. Father, help us to live for you and ask ourselves the question, are we going? Are we going? Are we going where you have called us to go? And Father, if there's anybody in here that maybe they say, man, I haven't experienced that grace. I don't feel like I owe anybody anything. Maybe you need to get saved today. Maybe Jesus Christ has been speaking to you. Maybe the Holy Spirit has been tugging on your heart to be saved today. Father, I pray that you would help us. Now, as we have our heads bowed and eyes closed, let's take a few moments here to just let the Holy Spirit work. Let the Holy Spirit talk to you on and challenge you on that question, if we are going and where he wants us to go. And if there's anybody in here that's thinking, you know, I do need to be saved, then you can come down to the front. Someone can show you from the Bible how to be saved. Let's take a few moments and allow the Holy Spirit to work. Does God want you to be a missionary? Does God want you to be a missionary to Minneapolis? Wherever it is, I pray that we would all go, that we would all go exactly where God would want us to go, that we could be under the showers of blessings, that we could try to pay just a portion of the debt that we owe from the grace that has been extended to us. Father, I pray that you would help us. Give us your wisdom. Give us your understanding. Give us your power to go and be who you want us to be. Mr. Elgar, would you mind closing us in prayer?
Thank you. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just ask you right now through the power of your wonderful Holy Spirit to flow unrestricted down upon us, that you would set us free to obey any promptings that you give us right now. And all of this unto the glory of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself up for us all. I pray in his precious name that you would set the prisoners free. Amen. Amen.